And what age were you then when the Germans came in?
I was 14. I wanted to study, of course, further, but I couldn't because the Germans came in. And I think it was the first thing that they brought in laws. I don't know if you heard about it.
But if you want to explain that.
Is that mean that between 100 pupils, they took only 10 Jewish. And this had to be, of course, the very best. And I just imagine that in a big school was much more than 100 people.
Mm-hmm.
So how many Jewish they could take? And so I didn't get in.
Right.
And they didn't accept me. Not my brother, no.
Mm-hmm.
So this was in 1943, actually. So my father found us some apprenticeship. I went to learn photography. I was 14.
When you learned about photography?
Yes.
And so how long did you do that for?
As I said, that's not very long and was not very proper.
Mm-hmm.
Because actually, if you would read my diary, you can see that it is more detailed. You know that when you're an apprentice, they don't teach you.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to watch and try to learn something. And so what I had to do, every day I had to clean the workshop,
sweep
up the workshop and dust. And after I had to go down to the cellar and bring up a big coal, a big, how do you call this?
Pail.
Yeah, coal. And I have a very tiny little girl. But I had a very nice boss, you know, my boss. He was not Jewish, but his wife was Jewish. But they didn't live together. But he didn't divorce her because he wanted to shelter her.
Right.
But they didn't live together anymore. So he was a very decent man.
Mm-hmm.
So many times he came and helped me to carry up. He was a boss, you know. And they had to make fire. It was two shops.
Right.
It was a shop where they sold, you know, photograph machines, you know, and papers and other things. And another was actually where they made the pictures.
Right.
The
more
salon.
The studio.
A photo studio, yeah. So if I'm thinking back, what they let to do me to develop the pictures in the dark room, I could do this sometime. Because that is how it is if you are an apprentice, you know.
You just pick things up in a...
Yeah, you know, you cannot do things. It was 3 years contract, so, you know, it takes three years to learn things. But as I said, that I'm supposed to go to school as well to study certain subject, you know, beside. And I couldn't go because we had to... where the Yellow Star was. Maybe I went once. And then my boss said, it's called Joseph. Why don't just take off your Yellow Star and just come, he said. So I did a couple of times, but and then my parents said that there's no way, because they could shoot me.
I was going to say, was that not very dangerous to do that?
It's very dangerous, very dangerous. So my parents didn't let me to do it. So I couldn't go.
Right.
I couldn't go anymore. We were not allowed to travel, as I said, any public transport or go to cinema or theater or library, nothing. Jewish people were not allowed to go anywhere. And as I said, that was my education as a photographer. It was not very long.
So the war started and you said you went, where did you go?
That,
you said that you left.
Yes, and then soon after we had to leave our house where we lived.
Right. And was that the whole family?
Yes, my father and my brother and my mother, yes. We were four of us. And then we had to leave to go and live in a designated area called Yellow Star Houses. It was in the old Jewish quarter in Budapest. And then non-Jewish people, they had to go out. And then we moved in, and then we couldn't take furniture or nothing with that, practically just very little things. That is how it started, you know, really very bad time. And then immediately my father was called up, he had to go to the army, the same time, and my brother also.
This would be the Hungarian army working for the Germans.
That's right. They had to work together with the Germans. But the Jewish people couldn't do that even if they would wanted to, because they didn't trust them, so they had to go hard labor. You know, dog benches, or how do you call, and other heavy things. Actually, my brother had to go to the airport because cleaning
the runway
rumblings after the bombing. Bombing was very hard, you know, very hard bombing. It was every day was bombing. And this was the most dangerous place because...
Of the bombing.
And of course, they wanted the Jews to do these jobs. So my brother had to go every day. They took in a bus, and then at the beginning he came home for the evenings. But actually my brother was very good because he was the head of a scout group, a Jewish scout group, and he was 18, you know, a bit grown up boys. So they decided they do something, wanted to do to save people. So they managed to make false documents with them and took off their yellow star in the evening and they went out the road looking for people where they stayed there, because people were arrested for no reason, you know, because it was a curfew, I forgot to tell you. It was not allowed to go out from the yellow star house, just 2 hours a day to buy a little food, just locally, you know. So if somebody they caught outside, you know, they just took him, you know. So they went out the roads and was looking for, and when they saw that some people were arrested, they went there and they showed their papers.
And said that
they said that we have to take this person, we got the order to take this person somewhere else.
Your brother was doing the hard labor.
Yeah.
And
my father as
and
well.
And your father as well. And
yes.
So
we didn't know where they were. But one day my father came home because his stepmother died, and they got 24 hours, came back for the funeral. But we didn't see him. We didn't see him.
And what happened after that?
We were in the Yellow Star House. And then the life was not very good there, because they just came in every day practically and then shouted up the order. You know, it's different houses there. They got this, how can I say, this is the floors, and it was open ground. Did you see houses like that? And then we, like a balcony. You know,
like a courtyard.
Courtyard, yes, yes. Sorry, yes.
There.
So they everybody they just shouted up, or I can't remember, and there was something. They ring the bell, and we have to go out. And then they said the orders every day, something new, you know. And then every day they came up with something new, and then, but the general thing was that everybody has to go for labor or deportation. We didn't know. From 18 to 40 women, and men, I think it was, that's right, men was up to under 60. That is what my take. My father, he was 59. And then I remember we were so sad because the other people were they taken the same time, and they said that they are younger. I mean older. Oh, sorry, and they came home, and he didn't lie. I don't know why. He should have said, because people have no papers. Not everybody had, you know. Not everybody had their papers that time already.
So is your mother older than 40?
My mother was older and I was younger, so that is how we managed to get to the ghetto, you know, we didn't take. But I say that, but it doesn't mean anything. It just really was pure luck, and God looked after me, as always say that. Yeah. Because all my school friends got worse situation than me. They were deported, same age.
Yeah.
And they died, they didn't come back from Budapest, you know? So it just was pure luck that, just for no reason that you were unlucky, they got you, you know? It has no explanation, you know? But this was the general rule, you know, that, as I say, that if they caught you, I don't know, after the curfew, and then they took you, for any reason, you know, you didn't know every minute they, you know, you didn't know what is the other minute bring, you know, so it was not, and we just alone, my mother and me, and then after a while, my mother saw that the people started to disappear from the Yellow Star house. But we didn't know what's happening in the world. We didn't know what's happening in the country. Because, unfortunately, most of my family lived in the country. And then I don't know, probably heard about that, that they all took them to Auschwitz. But we didn't know. They took them first to little villages or towns, to bigger towns in ghettos, and then stayed there, I don't know. Was not in the same time, you know, they took them different times. And they took them to the wagons and took them to Auschwitz. And then most of my family died, except my two uncles came back.
So eventually you were taken to the ghetto?
Yes, before that it was a lot of things happened, you know, that because we find out that various people disappearing. Probably they heard about Raoul Wallenberg.
Oh, yeah.
So he was in the Swedish embassy. He was there and he tried to save people. And people went and then they got a document, mine originally still in this book, I will show you. And then my mother found out that people moving in so-called safe houses.
Right.
So is that meant if you went this, they accepted you as a Swedish citizen example, but really you was not, but it's a collective. You got like under,
as
you
a,
know. And then is that mean they had safe houses in Budapest. They bought up, actually, houses, the embassies, Switzerland, I think Rome, yes. It was very good, but very few people, I think, mostly who became Catholics, you know, they helped them. And Sweden and Switzerland. And then they bought houses, and then you were able to move in, out from the Yellow Star house, you know, that time. And then my mother heard that. She didn't tell me. I just heard afterwards. You know, she didn't tell me. One day she got up and dressed up her best clothes, nice hat, I remember, and a nice blue coat. And without the Yellow Star, she went out.
Without the Yellow Star?
Without. And she said to me that, I have to go somewhere, but I'm coming back soon. And then she went away, and I was waiting and waiting, and she didn't come back. Because she went to a place where she'd been told, you know, from somebody that you can buy a Schutzpass, it's called, don't know, heard this name. This was a document called Schutzpass. And let me show you. She went on the tram, and it's interesting because afterwards she found that everybody was like her. They were all Jewish because they were all arrested in the way back, you know? So she went there, she gave her money, she got this document, and then when they came out back to the tram, they were all arrested and took them away in a brick factory that was outside Budapest. And she spent the day and night sitting on the bricks outside, winter time was already October or something. It was very cold, no food, no water, nothing. But she managed to find somebody who was willing to take a note for me. Mm-hmm. And she had nothing else. She had her wedding ring, because you were able to keep your wedding ring. You have to give in mm-hmm. all your jewelry, but you were allowed to keep your wedding ring. So she gave her last possession to send me a note. And I was alone at home, and my mother didn't come home. I was crying my eyes out, and didn't talk to anybody, didn't turn anybody. And I got the message early in the morning, because as happened that the house where the Yellow Star house was, it was my great uncle's, he owned the house, used to own, you know, mm-hmm. because he was Jewish as well, so he didn't own anymore, nothing, didn't own anything. Actually, he was a professor of, is a child specialist. So the house manager, it was there, who originally, you know, mm-hmm. Jewish. Mm-hmm. So he got the message, and he immediately went and phoned to my great-uncle
right.
that I am alone, my mother was there. So he made arrangements for me, and then this woman, house manager, said that you just dress up nicely and take with you a change of clothes, and then somebody will come for you. And the next morning, my cousin, who I didn't see I don't know how many years, he came for me because he was hiding. Mm-hmm. And then he said, no, Yellow Star, don't wear a Yellow Star. I was so afraid. And then he took me, not very far, where my auntie was hiding. They took me this house. And then, ironically, my auntie was hiding in a German house where all German officials lived. And she was working for a lawyer who working for the Germans as a housekeeper. But the lawyer knew she was Jewish. You know, he was hiding her. So that is I was taken. And my Auntie Alice, that is how it's called, she had a very tiny flat. So I've been taken there. And I've been told that I am not allowed to pull the toilet even, and I have to be just quiet because nobody allowed to know is anybody mm-hmm, mm-hmm. there.
Nobody was here.
And then my cousin had to go because he was working on the airport as well. So he left me alone. So I was so tired, I just went and slept because all night I didn't sleep. I just was crying, what's happening? Where is my mother, you know? So later on the morning, somebody came to the flat, my auntie, and then she said that they recovered my mother because this lawyer was so...
Influential?
Pardon?
Did he have influence?
No, he mm-hmm. had the you know, influence, uh-huh. yes. Mm-hmm. Sorry about my English.
No.
He had the influence that he hired the car and went out to the brick factory and then was looking for my mother, but she didn't find her. But in the meantime, what happened that day? 50,000 people were arrested all over the road. But they got them, everybody was taken to the brick factory. It's happened because but the Germans was losing the war, you know, a lot of other countries was liberated. And then they were running away. Mm-hmm. And they wanted, not wanted, they did herd the people, 50,000, foot to Austria. They had to walk mm-hmm. to Austria. But they took this, who was 18, under 18, or over 40, they didn't take. So, but my mother was released. So that is why they didn't find her. But this man just went on the road and find her. It's amazing.
It is
it's amazing, yeah.
Fantastic.
So my mother came home, poor thing, in the nice hat and the nice clothes. Looked terrible, you know. But I was so happy. And then he was very, very disappointed because we have no money left at all. Mm. We couldn't buy anything. Not because you could buy a lot of things by that time, you know. So we just were sitting around, and we heard about they're going to take us in the ghetto, but we didn't know when. I don't know anybody else. It was in the ghetto my age. Mm. I didn't know anybody. I knew that two boys was there, was a bit older than me. That's all I knew. I didn't. Also, my mother never let me out, you know, because she was worried me, a girl, you know. So she didn't let me go anywhere. And then sometime they came and we had to go to clear the Rambo after the bombing, and she was hiding me behind the cupboard, mm-hmm. put away the cupboard, and, mm-hmm. and I had to go stand behind the cupboard, you know, because knew I was there. Mm-hmm. But she said, I am not home, she said. So I never went to clear the Rambo, you know. It was dangerous. It was mm-hmm. dangerous, really.
And how long were you in the ghetto for?
You see, in Hungary, the ghetto was not stand very long, I said, because the Germans was already retreating, mm-hmm. and then was very big fighting, it was, you know, and eventually the Russians came first. Mm-hmm. They arrived first in the country, but it was very, very heavy fighting, you know. The Russians lost a tremendous amount of people, you know, in this war as well. And then they were the first to approach. And example, in Budapest, was house to house fight was, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. it was so severe mm-hmm. still, because the Hungarians had to still fight. And then the Germans were still there, but you know, the packing, they took everything and they were going away. So they put us in a ghetto because they couldn't do anything else. It was in the Jewish quarter. And then very quickly they, but I think it was 3 meter or 4 meter high, walls around. And when you get in, you couldn't get out mm-hmm. from there. Couldn't get out. But in a way, it was lucky that, you know, mm-hmm. we managed to get in. And as happened that, we were between the first people who get into the ghetto, and it was a big advantage because we managed to get a room mm-hmm. with a single bed when we slept together with my mother. And then it was a small room, and also was a double bed where is a couple with their, one of the, I think, the father-in-law. The three of them were sleeping in a double bed. But it just was the beginning, because when the bombing and, you know, when sometimes 10, 15 people mm-hmm. was sitting on the floor during the night, because they bombed out, yeah. they had nowhere mm-hmm. to go. Yeah. So it was not very comfortable, but we were still very lucky. We had a bed, and then we took a pillow and a duvet, and remember I was carrying on my back in a rucksack. So it was really not too bad, you know, mm-hmm. at least we had a bed mm-hmm. that we can put our head down, you know. So it's a ghetto, you ask me how long it stands, it's about, I think, 9 weeks and 3 days, because we were liberated in the 18th of January, 1945. We were liberated.
By the Russians?
By the Russians. Mm-hmm. So after that, and other people, Hungarian people, they were Arab people, they called. Arrow people, because they were just made a, it was an arrow in their arm, you know, like the Germans had the swastika, and the Jewish, we were the yellow star, they had an arrow. And they were all Hungarian, mm-hmm. but they were worse than the SS.
Oh.
They were worse. They were horrible. They were terrible people. Example, they didn't honor the houses, you know, the safe houses, people. Mm-hmm. They just went there and then took them to the Danube, is a big river in Budapest,
Danube,
and then shoot them, thousands of Jewish people who were supposed to be in a safe house.
Yeah.
So in a way, we were lucky we didn't get there even.
Yeah.
We were luckier to get in the ghetto at the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we didn't know, but that's later on, you know, we realized that. But in the ghetto, it was not a holiday place. I cannot say that, because we were starving and was freezing cold. It was about 17, 18 minus in the winter. Winter is very cold in Hungary, and big snow. And I never forget, it's always before my eyes, that people who died on the road after saw that, when we were liberated, they shifted the snow very high beside the curbs,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then when somebody died, they just threw there, and the snow came over and froze in. It was frozen dead people. It was terrible, it was always before my eyes, you know? I never forget that. So it was so cold,
mm-hmm.
And there was no heating, was no warm water, was no food. My mother became very weak, because she was older, you know, and I was always hungry,
mm-hmm,
starving. And then every time, as I said, the same story, they came for these people, they come for that people, and then they came for me as well one day.
Did she hide you, or?
No, they couldn't. I could read you this part, but I can't say it or anything. It's, you know, that it always was somebody who was in the lookout. If anything wrong coming,
mm-hmm,
we tried to save ourselves, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They were together, the people there. And one day a man ran to us, and they told my mother to immediately put me to bed, because they're coming for me, two SS men coming for me. Because later we find out that the house manager was not Jewish, they stayed in the house. And he reported that is a beautiful young girl hiding in the ghetto. Because I told you that was not my age group.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't meet any, not one, my age group. But it was a really exaggeration that a beautiful young girl. It was a very tiny, very thin little girl. And they had two little pleated my mother put, you know. And I was starving. So everything you can see, but I was not a beautiful young girl. So luckily. So my mother immediately put me in bed. And they told me that to say that I got heart condition. That is why I'm staying all the time. I have to be in bed. You know, they told me, this man who brought the news. And I tell you that it was not maybe 5 minutes. They put me to bed, and they put my mother, they hide my mother away. You know, I was alone in the room. And then these two men came in. I tell you that they were two beautiful men, toe to toe in black leather, SS, two SS men, young, I don't know how old, maybe early after 20 years, young people, beautiful, everything, beautiful boots, shiny, you know, beautiful two men came. And they came in and they said to me that, why are you in bed? And they just said, I am very ill. I said that I cannot get up. I have to stay in bed. They ordered me out to the bed, get out from the bed. So I came out. I didn't have a very nice nighty. I cannot say that at that time, you know. Maybe I had one and I had to wash it all the time. So I come out without shoes and anything. A tiny little girl I was. And they looked at me, and he said that, would you like to come with us? That is what they asked. Looked at me up and down, and then, and they just said, I said that I don't care. I said that, but I don't think I could walk very far. Why? I said I can't walk. I said that because I am staying in bed all the time. Just imagine I had to do that, and I was lucky. I was lucky because they started to talk to each other. And they didn't like me, thank God. They didn't like me. No, I was not a young, beautiful girl.
Yes.
And then they said that, go back to bed. We advise you, don't get out from bed because we are watching you. And they left. They left.
Terrifying.
And you know that they brought my mother. She was in a state. And we later find out she had her first heart attack. She got a heart attack. She was so worried about me. And then everybody was so happy. And everybody brought me something that they had. They were really so nice, the people there, that I escaped. You know that I heard a lot of stories about what they did with girls in the concentration camps. I know about it. So that is how was it.